Well, welcome into Sports Talk. It's the Friday edition. You got the Ducks on a bye. We're going to lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline because 'tis that time. It's football season. It's the beginning of Sports Talk. We've got our priorities straight. Let us turn our attention to the million-dollar sandbar known as Miami Beach.
From Miami Beach, the sun and fun capital of the world.
If you haven't won a bet since, well, Britney wore mouse ears, it's the man who created ParamountSports.com on the web.
And here he is.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lee Sterling.
How sweet it is.
Yeah, another big week had Georgia beating Notre Dame but not covering. Washington laying all those points on the road at BYU. The Ducks on the cover against Stanford. Really getting into the teeth of football season. A lot to break down. Follow along. Use the Twitter handle at Paramount Sports. Lee Sterling checks in. Lee, how are things in South FLA?
Wasn't too good watching my two teams last week. Miami struggled to beat Central Michigan, and the Dolphins again get blown out by Dallas. So maybe in a couple of years things will improve. It hasn't been good.
Yeah, well, thank goodness you do this for a living, have a family and a
life.
You were leaning on the
winning. And how about Derek? How about Jeter? A couple of days ago, he came out and says the fans should start supporting the Marlins more. Like, why? I'm going to pay $75 to sit 15 rows up behind the plate to watch double-A players?
Yeah, I'm always amazed that if I ever see the attendance figures and they hit like four figures. I'm like,
hey, there's some times I haven't been to a game in 3 years and I don't plan on going until they become at least competitive, but there is literally some games that I'm watching some games on TV and there's not 500 people in the stands.
No, my running joke is you can buy a round of beer and you won't even max out your credit card if you pick up the tab for everybody who's on hand.
Well, we call it pick a section night. Pick a section night.
So,
I love what they do.
I'll tell you what.
Like bobbleheads. Bobbleheads for the first 10,000 fans. So what are they going to give? 10 bobbleheads to everyone?
Well, my thought would be, do they make bobbleheads for the fans who were there for showing up?
Right. They should pay out.
All right, so the matchups in the Pac-12 this week, man, there's some good games. Arizona State finally found their offense last week, but then Steve Montez in Colorado did some damage, and now they visit Berkeley for the lone unbeaten in conference, Cal, who got a nail-biter win at Ole Miss. I don't think that's a very good Rebel team, but, you know, in SEC country. Chase Bowers playing well at quarterback. Golden Bears, a 5-point home chalk. What's your play here?
Have you noticed this, that whenever Arizona pulls the upset, Herman Edwards, they're toasting like, you know, he should get coach of the year. He loses the game, he can get upset, and you don't hear a word. Have you noticed that?
Maybe. I just think that everybody loves him because he's such a great guy.
Yeah, a great guy, but he certainly doesn't get criticized much when he loses. So I'd like to be in his shoes. I guess, you know, 6-6, 7-5, they get all excited for something like that. But I'm certainly not going to get excited seeing this. But here's the problem for Cal. You know, I just think that Washington State, before they lost everyone, is patting Cal on the back here after beating Washington and Ole Miss on the road. And they still have weaknesses, and I think they're going to get exposed here. Arizona State's defense is very good. They shut down Michigan State in the East Lansing. Cal is just 2-7 the last nine as a home favorite. Well, this is where ASU does their best work. 7-2-1. Against the spread, the last 10 is a dog. Whenever I see these like 5-point lines in the Pac-12, usually they're 3-point games. And if that's the case, you know, you're going to win either way. You're getting 5 points. So usually a real close game. I think Arizona State will even pull the upset here 23-20. But I think the pressure is finally on Cal.
All right. In a game I'm going to call the Pac-12 Bounce Back Bowl, Salt Lake City, Utah, knocks out the USC second-string quarterback, then can't solve the third-string guy, Matt Fink, and has happened every time since 1916 they lost at the Coliseum. I don't know. There are no words to describe what we saw late night in Pullman. A team blows a 32-point lead midway through the third. UCLA beats Wazoo. This one, they've got the Utes installed as a 5-point home favorite. Who we liking here?
So, both teams are really, they got to get off the deck here. I mean, how do you blow a 32-point lead? Just run the ball and just eat out the clock, but they couldn't do it. And then on the other side, I mean, Utah, they just keep – there's a couple matchups against USC when they have real good wide receivers. You can't cover them with mediocre cornerbacks playing man-to-man. It just can't be done. It's even with a third-string quarterback. So now they got to try to play with a lot of man coverage, a spread offense. And I just don't think it's a good matchup here for Utah. Their defensive line is going to have to play extremely well. Zach Moss is not 100%. Looks like he probably will not even play in this game. This is where Wazoo, they're so bad on defense, it doesn't bother them when they have a bad game. They come back the next game and might have a decent game. They're 13-5 here as an underdog. I like the Cougs outright, 31-27.
All righty. Historically with UCLA and Washington, you know, you got the two traditional conference powers hooking up in Seattle. USC off the big emotional win at Utah. Huskies' lone blemish was that lightning delayed 1 point at the buzzer loss at Cal. Jacob Eason and the offense seem to have found their footing. Fink will go again for the Trojans. Though they're a 10-point road dog. What gives in this one?
Well, you would think that you'd look at the spread and say 10 points. I mean, the talent level's pretty close. But here's the problem if you want to take USC. Can Matt Fink just keep throwing up rainbows? I don't think so. And if Washington on offense, they get the lead and they get that offense going and they start running the football, then they use play action off that, I think they're too tough to stop here for USC. I think Jacob Eason is an NFL quarterback. I was trying to think back. I don't think they've had anyone even close to him. Have they had a – I mean, Warren Moon had a cannon for an arm, but wasn't – you know, he could run back in the day. Would you say he's the most pocket passer they've had with a rocket arm?
Yeah, and, you know, if it wasn't for a little mix-up early on, I think an injury when Fromm took over, he might still be the quarterback at Georgia.
Right, yeah, so strange how things happen, and then look at all the guys, the other quarterbacks that left Georgia that Fromm beat out. So I just think that he's the difference maker here. Zach Moss, with him going out in that first half, I think it changed the game last week and really helped USC also. And Clay Helton, he's not one of my favorite coaches. I want to back. I'm going to take Washington here at home, 35-20.
All righty. Let's move to the National Football League as we talk with Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports on a real big run. By the way, stay tuned. He'll let you know how to get his college football game of the year. Some thought no breeze, Saints done. They won at Seattle. It was a wild game. They had a punt return for a touchdown, a scoop and score. They host Dallas. Cowboys really haven't beaten anyone, but, man, their offense looks good. Odds makers like it tight, though. Cowpokes -2. How do you see this one playing out?
Well, I think Dallas is a top three team in the NFC. I think they're right there just behind the Rams in New Orleans. Here's the problem. They haven't played anyone. They played the Giants. Not good. That was when Eli was quarterbacking. The Redskins, they might be the second worst team in the NFL. And then we know they played the worst team in the NFL, the Dolphins, maybe the worst team in the last 50 years. So I just don't see Dallas being ready for this game. And look at New Orleans, played a much better competition. They've already played against Houston, the LA Rams, and Seattle. Everyone was talking, you know, like about this New Orleans team, they're going to be gunning for the Rams, and that's their big game. Well, I think Dallas is just as important to them. They lost that game last year at Jerry's World 13-10, but they were dominated. I mean, it wasn't even close. They just they were never in the game. They only had 179 yards of total offense. Now, I mean, that score could have been 31-3, something like that. So I think New Orleans is going to be ready for this game. I think it's a circle game for them. I think Teddy Bridgewater, they put the brakes on what he was going to do last week. They played it real safe, and I think they'll take some of those training wheels off and allow him, if it's, let's say, 3rd-and-3, 3rd-and-5, they might even have some design runs here and maybe some trick plays. They got two guys that can do some different things at quarterback, and Saints as a dog doesn't happen often. Last seven times they're 6-1 as an underdog. Long team favorite. New Orleans wins this game 23-20.
All righty. Last NFL game, the defending champs, sans the Antonio Brown drama, head to Western New York. Couple of 3-0 team. Buffalo's the host. To say Brady owns the Bills is a bit of an understatement. He's 30-3. One of the losses was at the last game of 2014 when they'd already locked up their seeding. Bills won their first two at the New York teams, pulled one out against Cincinnati. Vegas says Pats minus 7. What say you?
Do you have any nice feelings about either of these teams?
I'm a New Yorker.
Do you like any of these teams
Bills?
Ever?
Are you kidding me? I'm a New Yorker. I hate all Boston teams and screw the Bills.
I'm being facetious. I don't like either team, but I'll tell you this much. I think their fans, the Bills Mafia, is amusing. Would you agree?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're insane. I love it.
Yeah. Well, did you see the new one? You know, they used to jump off cars and buses on tables. Do you see the new one where they jump onto tables that are lit on fire?
No, I missed that.
Check YouTube. So they're 3-0. Their fans just might lose it here. The pregame could be out of control. So who knows? They might start dropping from helicopters. They're so crazy. So I just think that Buffalo actually matches up okay in this game. Now, can they win the game? I'm not sure yet, but New England only scored 23 points last year in Buffalo. I know Tom Brady's 31-2 against Buffalo, but when they played last year, Josh Allen got to play both games. I think it helps that he's seen their defense. And look at who New England's played this year, the three quarterbacks. Three pretty much statues. Ben Roethlisberger doesn't move much at all anymore, and he was awful that night. Fitzmagic for the Dolphins. He should have retired 5 years ago. And Luke Falk, he wasn't even on the active roster when the first game started this year. So they're going to face a different animal here in Josh Allen. He has a rocket arm. He's got a lot of mobility, not afraid to run the ball. Buffalo has a respectable defense. They've got a power running offense here. And if they can take the lead, this crowd is going to, I mean, they're going to blow the top off. I'm going to put half my wager on Buffalo plus the 7, the other half on Buffalo to win the game outright 24-21. How about
righty.
That?
Bold, yep. Bold, Sterling.
And a lot
bold.
Of injuries. A lot of injuries you'd like to see for both teams, right? A lot of sprained ankles.
I don't root for injuries. I just root for bad karma.
Okay. That's fair.
As always, you know, we got a great time. We talk about the matchups that might resonate locally, regionally, nationally. Yep. But with your service, it's not a focus on what game is popular. You look for matchup edges that lead to picking winners. The game of the week, Seahawks looking to rebound from a home loss, taking on Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. So let the folks know how to get this and all that Paramount Sports has to offer.
If they want to hop on board, just go to ParamountSports.com. And, well, we've been hitting the big games. I rate my games from 10 to 50 units. And, I mean, three weeks ago, we had the Oregon game over Nevada, 77-6. Then we had, the week after that, Central Florida blasted Stanford. This week, I've got a game that's not even Power 5 conference teams, but no one's looking at this game. The line's off by 3 touchdowns. So, if someone's waiting in the wings, don't wait until December and say, oh, help me out, I'm down now, and I only have, you know, the college bowls and the NFL playoffs to help you out. If there's ever a time you want to come on board, this is it. I've got a 50-unit college football perfect play college game of the year. You want to get involved, you can buy the game individually, just $197. Or how about this? We just lowered the price. You can get 5 weeks of action of my executive phone service if you use coupon code SAVE200, just $397. So we're 39-14 on these 40-50-unit plays the last decade. I'm looking to make it 40-14. You want to hop on board? ParamountSports.com or call 800-400-9741.
Always fun, Lee. Really appreciate your time. You have a great weekend and enjoy.
Can't be any worse than last week.
Take it easy. Take it easy, buddy.